You can transform your business and go beyond one-time purchases with Order Groove. That's right, Order Groove is the platform to help you drive subscriptions and recurring revenue, which just translates to customer loyalty, and you can get started today. Request a demo, and you can get 2 months off your first contract at ordergroove.com/futurecommerce. This episode of Future Commerce is brought to you by Yotpo. Yotpo has an agile loyalty platform that empowers you to be able to launch a loyalty program quickly. That's right, no dev required. It's time for you to rethink loyalty, and it's time for you to think about Yotpo. Why don't you give them a try? Visit yotpo.com/futurecommerce to learn more. Future Commerce is brought to you by Chord Commerce. Chord is a headless commerce-as-a-service software platform that is built specifically for fast-growing direct-to-consumer brands. Learn more about how Chord can help you launch and grow your brand today at chord.co/futurecommerce. That's chord.co/futurecommerce. Hello and welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about the next generation of commerce. I'm Philip.
And I'm Brian.
We're back to the future, actually. See, Brian,
back to the future. Have we used that joke yet? I don't know.
I don't think so. In 220 plus episodes, I would assume that we would have.
50.
Today, we are doing our predictions episode. And Brian, you sort of chastised me and you said, isn't every episode a prediction episode? We're freaking called Future Commerce. And
kind of, yeah, we could give it a little more structure, I guess. But man, I'm just thinking back on the year and we do this a lot. So
yeah. We do this a lot, and we get things right sometimes, and when we get things wrong, we don't tell anybody about it. But that's something else entirely.
I could go back and look at all of our show notes and transcripts and find all the things we got wrong.
I think that we could we have an interesting idea for this episode, which is a little different than what we've done in years past. We kind of found a way to group things together to talk a little bit about like the current state of where things are and maybe project a little bit into the future. And this could be a long episode, so kind of buckle up a little bit. But I thought we'd just run it down and just kind of forecast a bunch of areas where we think that we're going to see the future kind of move a little bit. So let's begin, shall we?
Let's do it.
Our annual predictions episode. Chris, give us a drum roll, please. Chris, I feel bad for him. It's like 5 years of this. I don't even think he listens anymore. Okay. How about this? For our 2022 predictions episode, kicking us off, Brian Lang, our biggest retail winner of 2022. What is your prediction?
I want you to predict what I'm going to say right now, because I think you already know the answer, or maybe
I'm
going to
just guess that it's Costco.
Yes, it's Costco, obviously.
Oh my God. This is how we're starting?
This is how we're starting, because Costco is in a good position. It did well during the pandemic. It's continuing to grow. It's investing in technology. It's investing in everything. People.
Yeah.
Can I go wrong saying Costco is going to be a big retail winner in 2022? The answer is no.
No, you will be right every single year ever predict this.
Yes.
That's true. I like that. I really like it. What's your prediction? Like,
way less predictable for you. What's yours going to be?
Yeah. My biggest retail winner of 2022, I'm going to actually really be sad about this one if it doesn't come true. I think Gap brands might be the biggest retail winner of 2022. If you think about the 21 that they had, a lot of like you said, Costco made a lot of investments, a lot of future proofing. I think Gap brands did just that this year. I think their partnership with Yeezy is genius and has reinvigorated the brand. Old Navy had some huge wins this last year with the Olympics and their brand partnerships with Athleta and their focus on mental health. Finally, Banana Republic had a bit of a revival, although Ana Angelique has moved on. I am bullish. I think also the mall. I don't think that the biggest retail winner of 2022 might be the mall. I don't know. I think the mall might be coming back. Ooh. But I'm I'll tell you why when we get a little further down the list. So those are our winners. Okay,
Brian, well, actually, let me expand on that just a little bit. I went to the mall over the holiday season, and it was so busy. Maybe the busiest I have ever seen it.
Yeah,
I was stunned. Like,
yeah. Well, stay tuned because I have the same experience now, but for 6+ months. So I don't know. We'll see. Omicron notwithstanding. I think that, and we'll get there. Okay. So the biggest retail loser of 2022, here's what I'm going to say.
It's going to be the same time. It's going to be the same. No, word.
It can't be. I don't think we're going to be on the same page, but okay. You want to do it?
No. If we're not on the same page, it's not as fun.
All right. I had in my column, biggest retail loser of 2022. I'm going to say Amazon.
No, oh, dang it. It was going to work.
No way. Okay.
Mine's Amazon. We should have done the 3-2-1.
Here's why. I am concerned. I have concerns. AWS has gone down multiple times, which known as a rock solid service for over a decade. Somehow, some way, you put Andy Jassy in charge. Okay. You put him, he's the AWS guy for over a decade. You put him in Bezos' seat, and it's, you know, and then AWS starts to fall apart. I don't know. That's concerning. AWS can't be relied upon at this point. It's become a bit of a problem. And I think if you are a developer, there's a lot of folks who are very concerned about building on AWS right now. I don't think that, and I know that's one area of the business. It's the most profitable area of the business. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an area of concern. Also, a lot of, I hear through the grapevine, you know, I do some startup investing and I know some folks that build some really interesting software, including AI and machine learning stuff. The commercial products that both Google and Amazon have built in the machine learning space, they are kind of bargain basement, off the shelf AI and machine learning tools. If you really want to build a differentiated product, you can't build it on their stack. And because of both of those things, now I said retail loser, because of both of those things, well, that's all the same software that powers the merchant side of the business.
Right.
And when you look at all the roll-up activity, I think roll-ups, you know, Thrasio and some others have kind of been propping up and creating a bit of a bubble in folks that are launching direct to Amazon for a long time because there's this like fast road to exit. I think all of that falls apart in 2022. I see nothing but problems for Amazon over the next year. And I think it's going to be a tough road ahead. And that's my prediction. Why did you say Amazon? Yeah,
No, a lot of what you said actually right on point. And also, I think they're kind of getting to a point where you said this in a different way, but technology has caught up to Amazon and has started to surpass it. Like the tools available to merchants are really strong. And in the past, Amazon had a competitive advantage of having developed a lot of stuff in-house and having all the data and having all the infrastructure. Well, they've got a huge problem with shopping on their platform right now, and everyone's starting to feel it. Everyone's frustrated with fakes and brands that they don't know, and trust is an issue. It's like Amazon is sort of the Facebook of shopping. It's really hard to know what's real and what's not real unless you're trained to understand it. There's a lot of people out there.
You need training and disinformation to be able to shop on Amazon. Right.
Which is not fun. That's not fun. That sucks. Like, I don't want to do that. I kind of hit on this actually, not this most recent Black Friday, but the Black Friday before that. Like there's actually like product doom scrolling, and it happens on Amazon. It's like
so true. Oh my gosh, we need to. that's great. Please don't name the show title that, Kaylee. But anyway, it's so true. We got a lot to get through. I think we could probably bang on that.
One last point.
This is our fourth year in a row forecasting the death of Amazon. So,
well, not the death of Amazon. I mean, Amazon's not going to go away by any stretch of the imagination. But I do want to point one other thing out. Who just hit $3 trillion? What's their name?
Apple did.
Apple. Yeah. You know who's at $2.5 billion? Microsoft.
$2.5 trillion.
You know who's at $1.7 trillion? Amazon. You know how long ago it was that they were all competing to be the first $1 trillion business?
Yeah, it was like 2.5, 3 years ago. Yeah, it was. It was very. Yeah, the it took Apple 30 years to get to $1 trillion, and it took them 3 years to get to three.
Right,
and that's insane. Okay, so, let's just keep moving.
My point is Amazon's not growing as fast as the other big boys.
And, it's so true. Yeah. It's so true. My concern on the Apple front is I feel like a couple hard like. They have to put out hardware. Apple has to put out hardware, and hardware is tough. There's conversation around the self-driving car, potentially a VR thing.
Right.
Like if those things go poorly, Apple's not a darling stock, you know? And
sure.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get to Apple. I was making a point. All right, next one. Moving on.
Okay, biggest DTC, direct-to-consumer winner for 2022, Brian Ling.
So I'm going to say roll-ups, but particularly Harry's, which Harry's, you know, obviously they've done really well.
The razor company?
Yeah, the razor company is rolling stuff up now. Through Harry's Labs. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Harry's has a bright future. They had the whole acquisition blocked. I think they said, you know what? Forget that. We're going to do better on our own. We're going to figure out how to make this happen. And I think they're executing on it. I think they're doing some really interesting things. So,
wow. I love that pick. In this column, I had an interesting one. I just wrote about it in the Senses, which is our newsletter that goes out every Friday. I wrote about it because I was so pumped. Ji Ryu, who is the founder of Hero Brands, had an amazing Twitter thread about how they scaled Mighty Patch or they have 18 SKUs actually, Hero Brands does, but Mighty Patch is the one you probably recognize. It's on the shelf at Target. It is a blemish patch. It is sort of like, it wasn't the pioneer in the pimple patch space by any means, but it's kind of become the brand as far as pimple patches are concerned. Sort of that like celluloid, you know, sort of pimple, you know, cover up sort of a thing. They scaled that product to $100 million in an omni-channel business in the past couple of years. And I think they had such a phenomenal 2021. I think 2022 is going to be a monster year for them. And I could see some M&A activity there as well. In particular, the thing to watch out for is there is so much M&A that happens in the beauty space that people just don't pay enough attention to. Multi-billion dollar acquisitions happen in beauty every single month. It's insane to me. And you know, we don't cover beauty a lot on this show, but the few acquisitions that have gotten on our radar are the ones that are usually off of the radar. They're direct-to-consumer brands that have distribution through Sephora and Ulta that are making a killing online. And, you know, you have to respect the fact that, you know, the Twitter sphere just isn't hyped to some of them. Another good example. So anyway, Hero Brands is my pick. As a total aside, Hey Dude, which is a shoe brand that literally nobody had heard of, was just acquired by Crocs for a $2.5 billion valuation, which I think we had worked out to it was based on prior year sales of something to tune of, I think, 500 million, 525 million, something like that. It's 5X multiple. You know, that would put a Hero Brands at a $500 million valuation, give them to next year. It could be a $1 billion valuation at the end of 2022. They might be the biggest DTC exit that we'll see in 2022, 2023, as far as like time and market. So I don't know. I am very impressed with them, and they just don't get enough love on Twitter. While everyone's fawning over apparel brands, they continue to crush it. Hero Brands is my pick.
Nice. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
What's up next?
Biggest DTC loser for 2022. I'll take the pick here. I have a joke, but I think there's probably a real answer. I had the DTC plunger company, the company that makes the $40 plunger, Staff. They launched last year. I don't know them. This is also something we're going to talk a lot about in 2022, which is to criticize a direct-to-consumer brand is to somehow intrinsically criticize its founding team and the small amount of people that work on it. And in no way am I trying to, like, that's somehow the implication here. I don't know who they are. I do not wish them any ill will. I hope that they prove me wrong. They now have distribution through Verishop and a bunch of other places that I can't imagine you wanting to buy a plunger. I hope that they're able to find a way to make it work. It's kind of a joke, but it's kind of not. I don't know who needs this. I certainly don't. Maybe staff, the company's staff is the biggest direct-to-consumer loser of 2022. There's probably a better pick. Brian, what do you have for the biggest DTC loser?
I think there's the sort of sacrificial lamb companies that kind of came out swinging early and it kind of got, I mean, they already lost in many ways. I mean, they won in terms of brand recognition, but like Casper, like, I guess this is unfair of me. They've already lost. Like they've already been destroyed. Everlane Everlane is interesting. I don't know if you've been in an Everlane store recently.
It's still
pretty cool. And I saw a lot of people in there. Maybe I'm off on this, but like some of those initial brands that were acquired by Walmart, you know, I could see some of those getting shut down eventually. Like, I know Bonobos is probably not a good example of that, but like ModCloth, I think actually got spun back out already.
Yeah.
So early acquisition, like early entrance into DTC that got really big really fast without considering margin, those types of brands, I think, are going to struggle. That wasn't really a single brand, but...
no, DTC 1.0. I like that as the pick here. You know what's funny is, because we're kind of there, like whoever survived is now exiting and we're getting to see their financials, right? In the public markets. None of them are faring very well in public markets. So they've got a lot of, they got a long road ahead of them. I like that DTC 1.0 as the biggest DTC loser of 2022. I saw this meme the other day and it got zero love. I don't even remember who posted it, but it was somebody who recently went shopping at Outdoor Voices, and it was the scene from The Godfather where he's like, "Look how they massacred my boy." And if you loved Outdoor Voices 4 or 5 years ago, it doesn't look like it used to. Okay. The biggest media winner of 2022, Brian, the biggest winner in media for 2022?
HBO.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I kind of want to change my pick. This is a brilliant pick.
Yeah. I feel
they have HBO banger content.
They have incredible content, and they have for years. That's the thing about HBO is the history of their catalog is stellar, and they didn't go crazy and invest in a bunch of junk. Like, there is some junk on HBO. It's not very good. But the junk to quality ratio at HBO...
of any other service?
Yeah, out of any other service is incredible. So, and I think that there's actually so much good content, and that, like, that... they could actually, people could be dropping Netflix in favor of having HBO Max this coming year. They're also got early access to true theater quality films that people are going to be able, they can watch as a part of their HBO Max subscription ahead of their release to everyone else. I feel like the edge is there. I pick HBO.
Okay, I'm there. I'm with you. I think there's a lot to be said. I think HBO, like, pretty much everything they make is a banger. I think you're right. You know what HBO had for the longest time in New York City, where you walk down Sixth Avenue, and you walk by a Radio City Music Hall, and not too far from there on Sixth Avenue, there was a HBO store, a merch shop.
I remember
that. Did you
ever
go in there?
I don't think I ever went in.
Especially they always had a really nice window set up when Game of Thrones was on, because there was a lot of merch that people were like really pumped about.
Yeah.
When you look at how HBO executes now, and especially in the merch space, a friend of the show, Marco Mirandez and his company, Drop Party, right? They did a drop for Succession. And yeah, I think we see a lot more of that. I love that pick. It's a brilliant pick. I have sort of a for biggest media winner 2022. I kind of have a tie. I couldn't choose one. Netflix, I think, is, you know, it's the GOAT in sort of, you know, this new wave of streaming media services. It has more properties than anyone can count. So much IP. Let's not talk about Emily in Paris. That's a whole other thing. But you know, there's a lot of IP there, and they continue to drop IP. Squid Games, you know, came out in October, which was perfectly timed. I think when you think about the fact that they also launched e-commerce, and direct to consumer in 2021, I think they're poised to have a massive, massive, massive year. A huge run up. They're getting a lot of Oscar play, a lot of buzz in upcoming. We just came out of. We're getting ready to go into award season. I don't know if you saw any of the picks from last year. You know, Netflix is a major contender as a studio for all this stuff. Anyway, big. I kind of have them up there. The other one that's a little less understood is YouTube.
No, good one. Good choice.
YouTube is insane. There was a story that I read that was, if YouTube was its own business, YouTube would have a $500+ billion valuation. YouTube has a bonkers amount of revenue on its own. When you look at YouTube revenue in 2020, I don't know what the 21 number was, but the YouTube revenue is something to the tune of $20 billion of revenue, $20 billion of revenue on YouTube. We could be coming to an era, and I don't think that we'll get there from a government perspective anytime soon, because I don't think that the Democratic Party has the legs to do it anymore. They also don't have the mandate to do it, because the ultra liberal faction doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of traction in the country the way that maybe they could have. So I don't think the unbundling of Google and the other services happens this year or next. But YouTube could easily be spun out in the way that PayPal was spun out, as like being the best, most profitable part of a given business to go be its own success and to live on its own terms. And if they did that, YouTube could be a $500 billion company.
Yeah.
It's completely underrated. I spend an inordinate amount of time learning how to do things there and consuming content there and finding my next passion or my next hobby or side project there. It is the place where people are learning how to day trade stocks, how to get into crypto. It's, creating and defining culture. I think YouTube is completely untouched and is probably should be the biggest winner of 2022. All right. Biggest media loser of 2022, Brian Lang.
Oh, you're first this time. I was first last time. Yeah.
Okay. Two-way tie. Peloton is the biggest loser of 2021. I don't think they turned that around in 22.
Good one.
They started this, have you ever seen a more catastrophic fall from grace in a single year? Peloton is now the butt of a joke. They started the year as the it thing and the Henry status symbol, and somehow Peloton became the butt of a joke in a Sex and the City reboot. And that's their stock, forget their stock price being down, they're just plagued with issue after issue. And I don't, I think the time is kind of come and pass for Peloton. And now they have years to have to rebuild. And so I think, I can't identify a bigger loser.
Can I give a counterpoint?
Please.
Peloton's already been the butt of a joke before. When they came out with that horrible commercial, they got absolutely destroyed. And I'm not saying that they had a good year. They didn't have a good year. But if you actually talk to Peloton users, they still loved their Peloton. actually.
Yeah, you're right.
So my counterpoint would be, I'm not saying they're going to have a great year, but I don't know if they're getting like destroyed at the moment in certain, you know, in certain medias, Twitter for sure. I wonder if there's a floor that maybe they've already hit. There's possibility there.
Possible. Yeah. But even dead cats bounce, right? I think you have this, apologies to cat lovers. Yeah, I like the counterpoint. My concern here is that they need to pivot to be a broad media company, right? So the thing we'll see them do this year, I think Peloton as a name, maybe is a little bit nerdy in the bike community, and they need to become something more than that. I think maybe we see them rebrand. I'm just going to guess it's got to be something like Pello, like they just become Pello. Something has to change for Peloton this year in a big way. And they've got to be about more, like they need to do a, like a, you know, a, they just need to pivot to be more broad media and maybe programming and launch a cable TV network and like just go hard after being, you know, all about healthy lifestyle. I don't see how they continue on the track that they're on. And they've also proven that I don't think that they can launch new devices very well or quickly.
Yeah.
So I, you know, that's been a real struggle for them. And they acquired Precor, and that's not gone much of anywhere for domestic manufacturing for them in the short runs. They still have supply chain issues. So anyway, let's keep moving.
You but had I, me you know. At Pello.
Pello. There's a show title. My other loser was a tie for me. I think Disney could be like at this inflection point. Did you watch Book of Boba Fett?
No.
It was good, but not great. And we're going to see like 9 Star Wars properties launch this year. And I feel like it's either going to be extremely good or extremely bad. And I don't know if it's extremely good. Also with, you know, I think parks are going to be challenged. They've shut down retail stores. I don't know. It could be a tough year for Disney. And if theaters, you know, aren't making a comeback, I feel like there's, you know, they keep delaying. There may be a lot of delays in their release schedule for Marvel films. There's a lot here that could be loserish territory. We'll see what happens, you know, maybe tied with Peloton for one of the bigger losers of 2022.
Nice.
All right.
Here's my loser. You ready? None. I think media is on a trajectory.
Wow.
That's winning. It's a winner.
That's a hot take.
It's a hot take. Media continues to dominate. You might be right. There might be a little bit of a bump for Peloton. There might be a little bit of a bump for Disney, but I don't think it's that long. I don't think the bump is, I don't think it's going to stick down. I believe in media.
Okay. Let's stay with you. Biggest tech winner, in 2022.
Already Apple, right? It's already Apple. No, that's unfair. I think if you're going to pick anyone as a big winner in tech, it's got to be Microsoft. they're sitting at $2.5 billion. I absolutely see a trillion. World in which they go. Oh, sorry. Doggone it. That's the 12 second time. It's too big of a number. I can't get my mind around it. It's so big. 2.5 trillion. I don't see that. I don't see that. I see a world in which they go over 3. No problem. Like that seems like a no brainer to me. So
yeah.
Like I just see them following right on the heels of Apple. They're more diversified. They've got more software. They've got all the things, you know, AWS is having trouble. Azure is on its way up. Like it's all the pieces are there. They have a lot of pieces and a lot of them are really good.
Okay. I can't disagree with you. Microsoft has had an insane run. And I can't think of anything like Microsoft has decided now that, you know, They took on Slack. Now they're deciding to take on Notion. Yep. You know, they have a pipeline for taking popular business software and making it fit for the enterprise and like actually, you know, making people, you know, not totally hate using it. I think gaming might be tough for them. Remember, Meta sold more Quest units than Xboxes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
But gaming's just one, you know, it's just one division. It's
one part of it. Just yeah. one part of it.
Like yeah. they're yeah. super diversified.
Yeah, this is true. I like Microsoft. Okay. For me, biggest tech winner 2022, I have to pick one. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going nuts on this one. I'm going to say TikTok. TikTok is redefining culture. It's something that we have observed for, you know, now since 2019. So this will be our fourth year of saying this, although it was in December of 2019. So it's, but when we wrote the piece Meet Carly, which was about the antithesis of Henry, the Henry's alter ego, where Henry is high earner, not rich yet. Carly, as we posited, was can't afford real life yet. And what we said is that, you know, services like TikTok are shortening the half-life of memes and actually proliferating memes as culture. And memes as culture, there is no, like, we've actually come full circle. Memes, you know, on TikTok actually are becoming part of, you know, the monoculture, if one can even still exist. The fact that everybody kind of was talking about No Bones Day within a week of it happening on TikTok, and the whole world was talking about it, you know, and this one pug on TikTok, you know, made such a splash. Like, have we ever seen anything like that since Grumpy Cat? No, we haven't. Like, and those cultural moments just keep happening. In fact, the New Year's Eve, you know, broadcast that happens every year on broadcast television, the first three songs were all by performers you'd never heard of, but you knew the song that they sang because they're songs that are on TikTok. TikTok is making media. It's making culture. And I think that it is something to contend with. And everyone is going to ruthlessly copy them coming out of 21 too. We saw Cloudflare said, you know, TikTok has supplanted Google for the most trafficked domain on the internet. And I think that that's a shocking statistic. And I don't think we have any idea exactly how large that service is. I think, you know, give them enough ad revenue where every direct-to-consumer brand is trying to spend money right now. I think they could be the biggest tech winner of 2022. Hey, maybe TikTok will acquire Microsoft. I don't know. give it a decade.
I feel like that was that belongs in the biggest media winner category as well.
Maybe. Maybe. The biggest tech loser of 2022, I just have to say Facebook, and that's with a hard stop and a paragraph mark. There's nothing more to say.
I don't think I
don't
to,
have anything I don't need to else
amend
to
that.
Say.
I don't need to amend yeah. that.
I think Facebook, you know, became a simp for Apple, and that's like there's nothing you can do. Apple exercised dominance. Facebook is bearing the brunt. They have, you know, bad press. And now, you know, Meta might be a failed launch, but the metaverse might actually happen. But I don't know if we'll remember Facebook as being, you know, part of the reason why it will. How about you, Brian? Who's the biggest tech loser of 2022?
Oh, no, Facebook. I mean, I don't even need to. Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about this? What is your most interesting trend of the coming year?
Huh. Psychedelics get legal.
Ooh, we're off weed. We're on to psychedelics, microdosing,
all of the above. Like, I don't know if it'll be at a federal level, but there's going to start to be some state stuff that happens.
Oh yeah.
And people start to trip. No, not really. Well, maybe a little. That is, I mean, I feel like that's been brewing for a while. There's stuff I probably don't know this even already happened. It's probably already starting to get legal, but it's going to start to see real mainstream use here in 2022. That's my zaniest, most interesting trend.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Order Groove. Order Groove is the platform that helps you convert those one-time purchases into long-lasting relationships through subscriptions. Your customers are going to enjoy the products that you sell without the friction of reordering when you put it on autopilot with Order Groove. Order Groove has enrollment boosting incentives and retention rewards, and it can fight churn with artificial intelligence. It gives all of that to you, the merchant, to empower you to be successful with your subscription story. Order Groove can even natively integrate with all of the major e-commerce platforms, all of them, meaning that you can experience seamless shopping for your customers and make it really easy for your employees to manage. Find out why leading brands like Pete's Coffee and Il Makiage all rely on Order Groove and receive 2 months off your first contract when you get a demo today. Go find out what Order Groove can do for you at ordergroove.com/futurecommerce. I'm so excited to tell you about one of our newest partners here at Future Commerce, Yotpo. What if you could give your customers loyalty points for writing a review? Or maybe send a birthday offer to your VIPs via SMS? Well, you can do all of that and a lot more with Yotpo. Yotpo is an e-commerce marketing platform that integrates loyalty, SMS marketing, reviews, and more. Yotpo Loyalty has drag-and-drop modules so that you can build and launch your program with no code, design, or even development. So it's time for you to get more from your e-commerce marketing platform. It's time to get Yotpo. Visit yotpo.com/futurecommerce to learn more. That's yotpo.com/futurecommerce. This episode of Future Commerce is brought to you by Chord. Chord Commerce offers a flexible, headless tech stack for some of the fastest growing direct-to-consumer brands. Its cutting-edge technology comes fully equipped with access to meaningful first-party data so that brands can focus on what matters the most, their customers. Its founders previously launched and grew Glossier to the powerhouse that it is today, and that's why Chord is the only e-commerce platform that is created for operators by operators. Find out why brands like Caraway, Amorpho, and others trust Chord with their e-commerce needs, and take advantage of this promotional offer that's exclusive to Future Commerce listeners. Learn more about how you can get your first 3 months of platform fees waived. That's right, a 90-day head start for your direct-to-consumer brand. Get those fees waived by heading over to chord.co/futurecommerce. That's chord.co/futurecommerce. It's funny because there's actually there's a really good example and a parallel to the THC legalization here, which is, you know, CBD being the derivative product. You know, we've seen adaptogens and mushroom-based products happening for, you know, better part of 3 years now. Four Sigmatic being a brand that we've, you know, we have actually awarded, I think, in the past here on this show. I'm actually reminded of Zachary Siegel had a tweet a few weeks ago on basically like calling out this Rolling Stone article that said the case for macro dosing. And he goes, isn't macro dosing just called, I don't know, using drugs?
Yeah. Yes. That's funny. What about you? Most interesting trend 2022.
Most interesting trend of 2022. I hate this. I really hate it. I think crypto might be the most interesting trend of 2022. And in particular, the way that crypto is going to challenge a bunch of IP laws that are in place right now that have that really can't be challenged because there is no means of centralization. The thing that brings me around to this point in particular is, so I guess my pick is not crypto. My pick is IP laws as it pertains to crypto. And maybe just intellectual property in general. I don't know if you know this. The copyright for Winnie the Pooh expired on January 1st. And
yes,
you know, there, this is like the beginning of a long decade ahead of us of a lot of copyright and public domain transfer from, you know, properties that we all grew up with as kids, and including, including, you know, a famous mouse. You know, I think this could be a really interesting time for crypto law, and in particular IP law. The thing that makes me think about this is, you know, Olive Garden sent a cease and desist to the non-fungible Olive Garden project, which was a collection of NFTs that celebrated, you know, that gave everybody, like, you know, faux rights to the ownership of a Olive Garden franchise, or at least the NFT of such, and had free breadsticks and this whole thing. Olive Garden sent a cease and desist. But the problem is that you can't take the project off of the blockchain. It still exists. Like, right. You just can't get to OpenSea because they sent OpenSea a cease and desist. And so you see these, you know, I think that we're going to see companies that are centralization of decentralized protocols get massive and maybe even go public this year. OpenSea could be one of them. But the IP laws that, you know, are cutting off the access to the decentralized versions of these otherwise, you know, intellectual property infringing projects, that's a thing that I don't think we have a solution for and may need resolution either at the state or federal level. And that gets very thorny because I don't think that we have the technology to be able to fix it. So,
right.
Yeah.
No, it's I'll actually. So the very next category is biggest news story of 2022. And my biggest news story of 2022 is Web3 in the mainstream. So, like, I think IP law is part of it. I think, you know, seeing, I mean, Web3 has made a lot of Twitter circles really well and has hit certain parts of the culture. But I think this is the year where everyone in the country knows something about Web3. They go from Bitcoin to NFT. Maybe it gets called something else. I don't know exactly how it will manifest itself. Obviously, that's the future.
Yeah.
But Web3 is going to manifest itself as the through line of 2022, and it may morph into something else. But that's my take.
Well, what was your most interesting trend of 2022?
It was psychedelics get legal.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry, I'm on too many psychedelics. I've forgotten. And so, biggest news story of 2022, I had NFTs. I think you're right. Yeah. I think that's I'm right there with you. Biggest news story of 22, I think, will be NFTs. And I think it's unfortunate, actually, because I think most projects are a cash grab. And we started the last year. When we talked about it, you know, there's a lot of conversation about the art, right? And democratizing artwork. That conversation is gone, right?
Right.
And the art is like this visual representation of an esoteric, you know, concept, which is ownership and provenance, which, you know, that's a thing that I think is a really interesting development. I'm just, you know, we'll get to this. I'm exhausted now everything being about crypto, Web3, and NFTs.
One thing I do want to point out about Web3 is I do think part of that news story is going to be the environmental impact, because it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And I think that, like, Web3 is going to have to change a lot. It's going to be a lot of backlash. There's going to be a lot of, like, I don't want to say like Luddite like thinking, but I think what's going to happen is it actually could inspire a massive tech backlash as it continues to march on. Like, I'm not
potentially
saying
we also had gas guzzler cars for, you know, better part of three decades before the you know, before laws were put into place that you know, required innovation to have to take hold, right? And when you had cheap gas,
but that did inspire,
you were wasteful.
A whole generation.
When energy is cheap, you're wasteful with this, right?
Correct. No, and I think that's exactly what I'm getting at. Is like, it's going to march on. It's going to continue to be a thing. It's going to be a big thing. But I think it will inspire a new generation, a new type of like anti-tech thinking.
Yeah. I don't know if you, there was a story not so long ago about China committing to build or to replace every single one of its like 2,500 coal-fired generators in the next 30 years. But it's like they're basically going to go all in on nuclear, 100% nuclear, and they're doing it for $400 billion or something ridiculous. It's like they're doing it for so cheap.
Yes.
And you know, if they have infinite energy, like they're playing Risk right now, like it's, you know, Command and Conquer. They're just like statting up on energy. Like they don't need that much energy, but they're just going to build it anyway. And like, it's crazy. That's
I think I was but better we couldn't at Command build, and Conquer
like,
than you
I,
were.
I don't yeah. think this is not an original thought, but I think the criticism here is that like the United States couldn't build one nuclear reactor for $400 billion.
Right.
And like, and to be honest with you, we wouldn't want, you know, most of America wouldn't want one nuclear reactor, which is a problem. So yeah, are NFTs and Web3 wasteful? Yes, but only because we have chosen to have the world's most antiquated form of energy production that continues to contribute to environmental and climate disasters. So yeah. Let's keep moving.
All right.
You know.
All right, fashion trend.
This is a weird one for us, but because so much of future commerce touches on, especially our projects, you know, we have these two big omnibus research pieces that come out every year. One is called Vision, and that is soon approaching. And then and there's another called 9x9. And we wind up forecasting a lot of changes in culture and in consumer trends. And so I thought maybe we would touch on some trends. So fashion trends, the biggest fashion trend of 2022, I'll take it first. I think this comfy cozy thing is kind of, it's here. And I'll tell you how I stumbled upon it. There is it's TikTok, you know, there is this like trend on TikTok now about being cozy and, you know, being bundled in blankets and like leaving the house in, you know, in like the warmest, fuzziest, you know, most bundled up apparel that you can, even at any time of the year. I think comfy and cozy, it started with Crocs, but I think it's going to be maximalized into literally everything. You know, we're going to see comfy, cozy aesthetics in cars. We're going to see comfy, cozy aesthetics in interior design. And yeah, I think fashion has a really, you know, is going to lean into, you know, more oversized, more plush, more fur, or faux fur, if you will. But everything is warm, comfy and cozy in 2022. That's what I think.
Doubling
this
down
is a weird
on
one for you.
Comfy, cozy, huh?
Yeah.
I think there's
you're
probably
the most fashionable person I know. I have to say that first.
No, I'm not.
So
that's not
your biggest
true.
Fashion trend. I know it's not true. You're the biggest fashion trend of 2022 for you. I want to hear what you have to say about this.
So I'm going to harken back to the Gucci X Balenciaga collab that we saw recently and the ad campaign around that. I think we get a little bit more, I'm going to call it modern Matrix.
Okay.
I think there, and I think I might have already called this out on an episode, but like a little bit chunkier in a sleeker way than maybe the late 90s. But like we move from like the sort of mid 90s to like the late 90s, early 2000s. But so chunky trench coat, we've been so dressed down for so long. When we dress up, we want to be comfortable, but also like, and also have our tech. So like metaverse, think metaverse, like entering the matrix.
I love this. Yeah.
So like chunky watches and trench coats and, but maybe with like a really street vibe to it, like comfy and cool, way cooler than it was last time around.
These things can coexist. I love that. Actually, it goes really well with my design trend, but let's go back to you. The biggest design trend of 2022, what do you see happening, Brian?
So I was thinking more like graphic design and so on.
That's what I'm thinking.
So like branding wise, like, and obviously this is not going to work for everyone. Jesse kind of called it in the Brands I Trust article.
Jesse Tyler, our creative director.
Correct. Yes. So that's definitely an article worth reading. Go check that out on futurecommerce.fm or subscribe and get that every week. More organic and more natural, more homegrown, things that seem like they are real, not branded, not polished, things that are going to inspire, you know, that someone really crafted it, genuinely crafted that thing, that it's quality, as opposed to sort of the very clear cut, clean lines of us millennials for so many years dominating how we do brand. Let's get funky. Let's get weird. Let's get real. Let's bring it back down to earth, more organic, more natural.
Okay. I can get down with that. I like myself some hand lettering. I like to see,
custom fonts.
A really like gonzo label that has like a whole paragraph of text on it that, you know, makes me read about all of the product's benefits, you know, as it's, I think Mrs. Myers, right? Or Ezekiel too. Bread.
Yeah, Ezekiel right? Bread. Ezekiel Bread is better. Yeah. That's okay. Good.
Okay.
What you got?
For design trend, I went sort of in a similar frame of mind. I went with what I'm calling, you know, an aggressive aesthetic. And I'm thinking 1990s, X Games, right? Like, I'm thinking, you know, metal band, you know, like these, I don't know if you remember the sort of like late 90s trend of like, you know, these metal bands out of the, you know, the Midwest, and, you know, out of South Florida. But they all had this like, you know, this aggressive aesthetic. And I think when you look at brands like Liquid Death, you know, they're differentiated because of that. And they stand out. And I think that there is a pendulum swing coming of people who don't want to, you know, I think actually you're on, this pairs right up with your point about Balenciaga ex Gucci, is there was something about the like the sleek, pristine Gucci clean look being spray painted on by Balenciaga that gave it a vibe. And I think that the vibe actually, it doesn't just soften Gucci, it makes it aggressive. And so I think this design trend of an aggressive aesthetic, where things look loud, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, X Games and, you know, what are some other things, you know,
like snowboard culture, like,
exactly. 100%.
Yeah. Right? I dig that. I dig that a lot. I think there's going to be a trend that falls in that line. I actually really like that.
I mean, and that kind of, that actually leans into the food and bev trend. Because I food and bev for the longest time was like, had this great, like products didn't look sleek and expensive and minimalist. Like products like tried to scream at you from the shelf. Right. And
Takis take over. Was that your, is that your,
the Takis takeover. I love it. Takis, T-A-K-I, right. Being the, you know, we've got blue Takis now, you know, that's a thing. But yeah, I think
like dyeing our tongues blue. That's, I like this. Like it's like food yeah. gets loud.
Exactly. I think food gets loud and I think the aggressive aesthetic comes with it. Like food has to become loud and not necessarily loud in it extolling its benefits and becoming functional. I think actually it will extol its benefits about how it doesn't do anything for you. Like it's just fun. It just is. Mm. About a product that just tastes good. And as a, like a sort of a sub trend, I think a food and bev trend, you know, so I think that my actual trend, my prediction is the beginning of a decline in functional food and beverage. Okay. And we go back to our roots, right? We just go back to what it used to be. And this kind of actually links up nicely with the thing that made me take notice of it, which is the sobriety trend. You know, sobriety has become very cool. Somehow I have wound up on, you know, sober TikTok, and it is very cool to be sober. And, you know, I see more posts right now about dry January. No, try dry every day. You know, people who have been celebrating their sober dates like very publicly, I think it's become not just a fad, it's like become a lifestyle for some people. And you look at, there are companies like Lagunitas, which just put out a sparkling beverage that is not a sparkling, you know, it's not a spiked
seltzer.
Seltzer, right? Which was the trend a few years ago. It's actually the opposite. It's a beer brand like launching a non-alcoholic seltzer that, you know, has a little bit of a flavor of hops. And so it's not like non-alcoholic beer. It's just a drink. So I think the sobriety trend will see, you know, major, you know, beer and wine start to move toward, you know, ready to drink on the shelf sobriety, you know, and not just non-alcoholic, but like, just a beverage, you know? So that's that, those are my trends. I think those things actually go hand in hand.
Yeah. For me, I think it'd be a focus on stuff that's yummy, like things that are actually taste good. we were so, I think, enamored by like what was actually like what we could add to, and you know, that you wrote about this in the sense is like adding in and making things functional and all of that. Like, why don't we just have things that taste really good? Like, I think that's what I actually spent a lot of my money on. It's just food that tastes good. I'm kind of the worst person to ask about this trend though, because I've never gone on like a true diet. Not to say that I haven't restricted my food, because I have, but I've never like held a diet other than stuff that I'm kind of intolerant of, which
I feel that.
Really a bad person to ask when it comes to that kind of food. But maybe my flip to this is like, I think, and this has already started to happen, like restaurants are going to see some serious investment, and like, there's going to be a big move back to eating out. People have been making so much food for themselves, I think they're kind of tired of it. And I, not to say that they won't keep doing it more than they used to, but I think there's a lot of burnout right now. And as a result, like eating out is going to become big, fast food, even like all eating out of the house.
You know what? There's a really interesting, something that, you know, I didn't mention here, but maybe is worth mentioning, is that, you know, what happens to ghost kitchens? You know, there's a ghost kitchen next, like near me, which was, it's like just mac and cheese.
Right.
And, but it comes out of a place that I would never go visit in person.
Right.
And I wonder, is that a different kind of dining? Like, it's a completely different kind of, I don't know. That's a half-formed thought. Anyway, that's for free. Let's keep moving.
You can't be a future commerce episode without having a few half-baked thoughts involved. So,
amen. Let's get to modern work trends. What's a modern work trend in 2022?
So I do believe that we're going to continue to see flex work happen, and as a result, I think there's going to be a big investment in at-home infrastructure. So we saw some companies invest a lot in this in 2021, where they had to completely mobilize their laptops to be completely locked down and like issue all of this like new gear effectively to their workforce, or retool their gear to be comfortable with letting their workforce go work at home. And I'm thinking of some companies that I'm not even going to say their names that I know that did this very specifically, because they had like really, really important stuff to keep locked down, but they could not you know, they could not have people come into the office, and they probably won't in the future. They've already invested in it. The problem is, I think that a lot of workspaces, at-home workspaces, are still not very optimized for at-home work, even as it stands right now. You know, whether it's internet or like desk setup, or like there, like people have been working out of like their bedrooms or their closets or whatever it is. I could see companies, enterprise companies, investing more in providing optimized workspaces for remote workers and making remote work even better than it is. Because what's really interesting about the past, you know, almost 2 years now, is that it's proved that remote work works. Well, what happens if you actually start to truly optimize for remote work? I think it could get even better. And I see a lot of investment going into that.
I'm with you. Actually, that I think my I hate myself for my prediction. I think we will see VR become a modern work trend.
Wow! Yes, and you saying this is a big deal.
I hate myself right now. I hate myself for it. It's a really big deal. I don't know that our listeners understand how big of a deal this is, but it took me 5 years to get on your train here, Brian. You know, my kids got an Oculus Quest 2 for Christmas. I tried it and I just fell over. Well, I mean, not literally. I could not believe how far that technology has come in a consumer device, you know, that is effectively a $300 device. It is transformational. And I think that something like that, this is the iPhone. The Quest 2 is the iPhone 4. It's like the best designed version of this thing that has ever happened. It has a fully functioning everything. The App Store is great. Just everything is great. And there are already work apps available on the Oculus App Store. The problem is that most of them are just ports of websites. And that is an opportunity, right? Miro has a VR, you know, app, but it's basically just its own website. And making that native to the VR experience, like, is something that I think will happen this year. I think modern work in VR will unlock, you know, remote teams productivity in a way that's never happened before. Now, is it going to look like Facebook Horizon and everybody has an avatar and, you know, what Meta is predicting? Probably not. But I am very intrigued as to what's happening there. And I think this could be
so good. And actually, you know, who's really going to lead the charge on the metaverse? Microsoft.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, HoloLens has been around for, you know, almost a decade now.
Teams is actually the place where the metaverse is really going to take hold. We need places to actually use the metaverse. And the two places where it makes sense are work and gaming. So
yeah, no,
there's
going
to be the gaming side and there's going to be the work side. And work is where it really starts to take over. In fact, that leads to our next trend, which would be health development, right? Or health trend. Here's my trend. Microsoft Teams for health starts to take over. We're going to see completely new telehealth experiences emerge. As a result of investment from enterprise players like Microsoft, not just Microsoft, but it could include billing, commerce, insurance, things could start to streamline through a system like Microsoft Teams. I see Microsoft's investment in health being a big play. Maybe it's not, it doesn't fully come to fruition this year, but get ready. It's coming.
That's a big deal. That kind of blows my mind. For me, I saw this trend, and now I'm a little bit concerned about this, of course. I think biohacking and things like Neuralink are for real. And I think that this, you know, this development of we've had the quantified self for, you know, 15 years now. We're seeing health data come from consumer application or consumer devices, wearables, right? That, you know, can predict sickness and disease like COVID, right? So before any actual like consumer or even, you know, biological tests can predict COVID. Things like heart rate variability are a big telltale, sort of a leading indicator for you being, you know, sick. So I think that the next step from those wearables becoming just part of, you know, of who you are is we see those things begin to become integrated. And I think that it's going to take, it's obviously 2022 is not the year that everyone gets their whoop implant,
yep,
but it's the start. And I think we look back and we say, oh my gosh, like that thing happened in 2022, which, you know, set the stage. But I think biohacking is here. And you know, NFC, near field, contactless, it's all happening now. I think it's a matter of time before, you know, actual, you know, we're actually, and I'm hesitant to say whether or not that's a good thing. But I think that, you know, we're only so many steps removed from that being a thing that we can all, hey, like, just wouldn't you love to just have like an LED light as your vaccine status? That would make life so much easier. Anyway,
Episode 8, baby.
I know. Go back to episode 8 and listen to a much younger Brian and Philip, talk about body data. Mike,
that was me with my rantings about how body data is going to change the world. And I think it will. I think it still
could. Okay, government predictions. I have the floor. I'll say it's in no way is this going to be
do not take our predictions and do anything with them.
I know. This is, yeah. But here's what I think is an interesting as far as commerce is concerned. You know, a midterm sweep happening. I think that, you know, it would be a miracle if the Republicans don't retake retake the House and Senate, both in the midterms. I think we're going to see a red sweep for all kinds of reasons that are beyond the scope of this show. But if that happens, I think what we see this, populist, continued movement of populism in all kinds of different incarnations. Like there's populism in Florida for sure, right? Like COVID basically doesn't exist here. But there's populism in California as well, it's totalitarianism of a different kind. It's, you know, it's expressed differently. And I think that we, you know, what we start to see is, you know, people that just don't want that anymore. There's even more reasons, you know, financially that start to move. And I'm not even talking about big, you know, federal government. I'm even talking at the state level. Like, you know, there's these moves that are happening right now that I think could really start to, you know, undo California's, you know, commerce dominance. I think, you know, it's failing at the ports, creates, a real challenge for people. And, you know, I think you start building more modern port infrastructure elsewhere with more automation. You know, this that could be a big blow to California's economy. And the next thing you know, they also ended one of the few last remaining tax havens in California for building startups, which was the qualified small business stock tax, incentive. And you end that. And I don't know why anyone would want to stay and build a business in California. We're starting to see like this proliferation of not just tech, but, you know, information and health sciences move outside of, you know, that one concentrated area in the country and maybe come to other states. You know, those are big movements that I think California will have to reckon with. And I think that starts a California red swing, beginning next year, both starting at the local level in like San Francisco, but will probably proliferate through the state over the next decade. And I don't live there and never have. But this is based on my observations.
I really like that I think I agree with you. I don't know about a red sweep, but we'll see some flips.
We'll see.
What I really think is interesting about what you're saying is I think that that's not necessarily a bad thing. Not to say that like a red sweep of California is good or bad, but seeing some distribution of tech talent out throughout the nation, I think is actually going to be really good for the nation. And it's already happened, actually. So I think some of the things you're talking about, like there was a lot of movement from the Bay Area to like Colorado, Montana,
Austin,
Idaho, right. Austin. Yep. And so when you have people leave one area, certainly that leaves behind a certain kind of person, but it also takes a certain kind of person to another state. Right. And so we could see, I mean, we're seeing this even with Texas in the past few years, like Texas is a purple state now. Right. We could see that in some of these other places that you would never have thought would be a purple state. It could be. And so here's my prediction that everyone is going to hate. I think we could see a swing back towards, and everyone's going to hate this, moderates.
The most hated of everyone.
Everyone's going to be like, Brian, everything's getting more polarized. Like,
pick a side, Brian. Pick a side.
Everything is getting bad. It's getting worse and worse. I know a few people are going to listen to this and be like, Brian, you are so wrong. Things are getting worse. And like everything's splitting further apart. But I think that there, if we do see some distribution of people throughout the nation, all of a sudden, political parties don't just cater to the strongest common, like there's the strongest voice. To win, you have to go get more votes, and to get more votes, you have to get people from both sides of the aisle, or people that sit on the fence. And
you have to get very fine people from both sides.
Correct. So if there's distribution,
you didn't get the joke.
I missed it. I wasn't paying attention. I'm on a roll.
If there's distribution,
that those people are going to have to get catered to. And I hope and I pray that we see a move back towards a moderate society. And I hope that the things that you just mentioned, you know, will lead towards some of that. We'll see.
Well, I maybe, you know, who I would love to have on the show is the United States Secretary of Commerce, Gina Raimondo, who I would love to come on and talk a little bit about how commerce can actually make some impacts, and how federal policy can and state state policy can shape the way that we, you know, build our nation, and how commerce, you know, can change the future. That's a bold prediction. I'd love to get her on the show.
Is that your prediction? We're going to have her on this year?
That's my prediction, that we will have her on this year. I literally have no way of making that happen at the moment, but we're going to try. Yeah.
All right.
I would love it.
Let's do it, Gina.
Yeah. Listeners, you know how to do it. You know how to do it. Let's get this. Let's put it into action. If you have a hookup, let us know. All right. Finally, this is it. This is the last piece. and what is my favorite episode? We've done it a long time. Brian, what are you sick of that you hope dies a cruel death in 2022?
Well, COVID, obviously.
Amen.
Yeah. I want COVID to not be a thing anymore. I want to see it not be a thing. I'm tired. Tired, man.
You and everybody else.
Yeah.
You and everybody else, brother. Yeah, you know what I am sick of? Honestly, I'm kind of sick of crypto.
Dude, I hear you, and
I know.
And yet I'm afraid that you're going to be stuck with it for a while. Crypto.
I know. I've been tracking it for a long time.
You have.
And I've been participating for, you know, now over a year, and honestly, it is absolutely something that we will all have to, like, it's here and it's here to stay. But honestly, the people sometimes, you know, are, especially the early adopter types, really make the space really tough to participate in. And in particular, you know, there's an incessant thing that's happening right now, and maybe crypto, I don't hope crypto dies. I guess that's the wrong thing to say. There's this idea that
culture,
there's this idea that there is a one application of a blockchain can solve anything. And right now it's decentralized autonomous organizations. You know, DAOs are being used to do everything from trying to buy golf courses to perform consumer research, to try to, organize to own the Constitution. Someone has tried to start a DAO to apparently start their own airline. It is preposterous. And, I think that this crypto urge to solve everything with whatever the current, tech stack is, or whatever the current, it thing is just exhausting. And that's just tech bros. That's how they do everything, is they try to solve a problem that is already solved, with a technology that they're currently using, which I sometimes results in progress, but most times does not. The other thing is, let me ask you, this is a joke, trivia question for you. What is the difference between an LLC and a DAO?
No, I don't know. Go ahead. Tell me. What's the joke?
LLCs are legal.
There's actually because a precedent.
The other thing is that, with the absence of, like, say, I think Wyoming decentralized autonomous organizations as like a recognized business entity is not a thing. Yeah. And there's a lot of work to be done there. So, DAOs are powerful, but I think that for the most part, they're, joke memes and there's a lot of power there, but I think
I didn't get all the way through it, but I read the first half of Packy's most recent, not boring.
Packy McCormick's not boring newsletter. Yeah.
Yep. And I feel like there's a very distinct shift in what Packy's saying based off this most recent one. He says, Web3 is a global real money economic and social simulation, a digital laboratory for complex problems. Kind of saying that it's not the answer to everything, but more of a way to work out issues and to figure out what's going on. He's like, and a lot of money's going into it because a lot of big problems are getting like brought to light and like trying to like figure them out. I feel like that's a little different than what we've heard before. I don't see that as the main narrative right now. I also have no idea if Packy's right about this.
Packy doesn't know if Packy's right.
Yeah.
But, not to lament too much on this. I think that the fact is that there will come a time where the tech community gets bored and will move on to something else. And the consumer culture, who, for whatever reason only heard about NFTs when Melania Trump put hers out, it's like they're the ones that are going to be slowly onboarding for the next 4 or 5 years onto this technology. Are they participating in DAOs? I don't know. I feel like it is a last thing I'll say. The first NFTs that made the news in 2021 were ones that would never be made today. The first ones that made the news were a Beeple, a mosaic or like a collage. Or here's the first tweet by Jack Dorsey that went from, $1 million. You taking a screenshot of someone tweeting something mean to you and then like auctioning it off for 10 ETH cannot happen anymore.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And so NFTs evolved to something in a short period of time. I think the fatigue became very real. I think the same happens in particular with DAOs, but I think trying to solve everything with whatever is the current, tech stack is the thing that I honestly just hope stops, because it's not helpful.
Though it gets back to what we talked about on the last episode with Ingrid, like the reason why all progress happens is because people get bored.
That's true. Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
And so literally we just said this, Packy's newsletter is called Not Boring. Like Pascal called it well ahead of time. Like people find new things. They're like, oh, we can do things this way. Okay, let's try to, you know, let's see what we can do with this. And like, just like basically throw it at everything until like maybe something sticks and everyone starts to do it. Like, and then by the time that happens, they're on to the next thing because they're bored with that technology while everyone else like kind of tries to adopt it. And you know, enterprise businesses are built around it.
That's a, it's the, tech bro fascination to enterprise software pipeline that is often maligned.
Perhaps the only difference between early adopters and late adopters is the point at which they get bored.
Ooh, this is such a good thing. I'll leave you with that. That's a great word. That's a great way to end the show. Hopefully you're not bored. Thank you for listening to this whole thing. We have a wild year ahead of us at Future Commerce. Those are our predictions for 2022. We want to know what your predictions are. You can drop us a line at hello@futurecommerce.fm. And hey, we're in your inbox 2 times a week, sometimes 3. Don't tell your mom. We slide into your inbox with some valuable information into forms. One is called Insiders, which is a deep dive essay into all things that are touching and affecting the way that we engage in commerce and how commerce is changing the world. And the other is our newsletter called The Senses, which distills only the best and most important things that happen in the week's news in retail, e-commerce, direct-to-consumer, and marketplaces, and sometimes crypto, of all the things that you need to know and the way that we engage in the world around us. It's called The Senses, and you can look forward to that. You can get all of the above, including this podcast and our show, Infinite Shelf, hosted by Ingrid Milman Cordy, at futurecommerce.fm/subscribe. That's futurecommerce.fm/subscribe. Thank you for listening to Commerce, and hey, to Future Commerce. Wow, I'm tired. Thank you for listening to Future Commerce, and remember, commerce can change the world. Let's do that together. Have a wonderful 2022, Brian.
Yeah.
Here we go.